Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the season end.
Do you want to explain?
All right, so I'm not real sure what's going on with our intro and stuff here, but it is a homage to the Packers offense. Clunky, unorganized, and ineffective. So that's what we're going with. I apologize for that. I'm your host. This is Pulse of the Pack. I am Jacob Westendorf. And joined with me, as always, for this final competitive game edition, if you will, of Pulse of the Pack is Jason Perrone. Jason, how was the bar?
What competitive game are you referring to? I'm just curious because I didn't watch what I thought was a very competitive game, and I know this because it was tied, but I felt like my team was down 2 scores. So I'm just curious which game you're referring to.
Fair enough. I suppose by competitive, what I meant is this game is the last one that is going to matter for the Packers this year, and that's the case. They have been eliminated from playoff contention. The Bears beat the Packers 24-17 for the first time at Soldier Field since 2010. If Jason had a third grader, it would be the same age as the Packers' winning streak at Soldier Field. That is now over, and the Packers are now resigned to their fate of missing the playoffs for the second time in a row, or the second year in a row, for the first time since 1990 and 1991. No, that's not right. Losing seasons for the second time since 1999 and 2000 were the last time they missed the playoffs in back-to-back years, if memory serves. But, hell, I don't know at this point. But let's break it down. Packers and Bears, it was the oldest rivalry in the NFL. And, Jason, I mean, it really felt to me, like you mentioned, the same bad movie that we have watched over and over again this season. Green Bay goes on the road against a team that they are not as good as, and they play and they're competitive. And then when it's all said and done, you look up at the scoreboard and you figure out the Packers have found a way to lose. They are now 0-7 on the road, and they are now facing a game against the New Jersey Jets where they have a chance to avoid going winless on the road all season for the first time in 60 years. But throughout the course of this game, did you not feel like this was just the same bad movie we watched all season long?
I did. I knew it was going to be. So, as we talked about before the show started, I opined earlier this week that Rodgers was finally going to throw a pick because the Bears defense said as much in their press conferences that they were keying on it and they were aware of the streak and they were going to try to end it, and it's the most Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers thing ever for that to happen scenario. And I said it's going to be Jimmy Graham with a ball tipping off his hands and falling into the hands of the waiting Bears defender, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And you can go back and watch or listen to Cheesehead TV Live from this past week and verify that I actually said that with no knowledge of how this game was going to go. But I have full knowledge of how this Packers season has gone, and so I went full upbeat lollipop there, and I was right. Down to the player situation, and the only thing I didn't call was the time of the game. So it was very much more of the same of what we've seen this whole season. And frankly, I'm glad that all of the hoping and wishing and dreaming can just end. And we can now direct our attention towards hoping the teams that we don't want to win don't win. And let's pick up where all the Bears and Vikings fans left off for the past 25 years. And let's make the NFC North proud again, shall we? So the Bears played well, great team. I'm a little more sympathetic to them because I've got family in the Chicago area. And the Vikings succeeding is actually the worst thing possible. And although they did win today as well, today is Sunday, they beat the Miami Dolphins and kept their playoff hopes alive, I think we can assume that we're going to be rewarded at some point, probably before too long. So Packers-wise, though, I don't know what to say. I mean, honestly, Jacob, I don't think they're going to win next week. I think they're done, and they're going to make some moves this week, and you are either really needing to say something or you're swatting away a gigantic fly.
Swatting away a gigantic dog is what we're doing here. But, I mean, like you had mentioned, yeah, I expect moves to be made this week as well. I don't know what exactly that'll mean. We'll get into that here as the show goes on. But, yeah, the hope is over. The season's done. We were kind of clinging to a hope for a run-the-table redux or 2010 again or, you know, whatever it is that – whatever it is we thought we were looking for, and it just wasn't to be. It was very clear throughout the course of this game that the Bears were the better team and that the Packers really had no business being in it. Now, I will say for the Bears' standpoint, they did everything they could to keep Green Bay in this game between the fake punts, not running the ball from a traditional set with running a wildcat on a third and one and fumbling that really gave Green Bay a chance to take a lead, which I never thought was going to happen, but it gave Green Bay a chance at the lead. And I mean, Green Bay just isn't a good team. You know what? They've done all year what they did. Jason, we talked about it last week, how they didn't do anything all that different with Joe Philbin as opposed to Mike McCarthy. It was just, they executed better, but they were running the same mistake. Wow, excuse me. They're running the same plays from the same offense that they've run for the last 15 years. The difference here, oh, that would have been a great catch by Juju Smith-Schuster, but it was not to be. They've been running the same plays and the same system, and they did that today, and they scored a whopping 17 points. And three of those points came in garbage time. And, I'll give the Bears credit. Their defense is very good. There's no question about that. The best Packers offenses that we've seen would struggle against this Bears defense. That's how good they are. As for rooting against teams, Jason, it really looks like right now we are looking at a wild card matchup between the Bears and the Vikings. So one of those teams that we are talking about as far as teams we don't want to win should be eliminated wild card weekend, one of Chicago or Minnesota. I would guess Minnesota. Kirk Cousins in a big game against Chicago's defense sounds like easy money to me, but that's what we're looking at for wild card weekend. For the Packers specifically, though, quote Buzz Lightyear, it's 2019 and beyond, because it's over. It's done. The season, anything of consequence is done with, and now is the time where you can kind of start looking at, you know, draft position, draft picks, cap space, free agents, all that sort of stuff, because these last two games are glorified scrimmages, because even if Green Bay wins these next two games, nothing happens. And I mean, I don't even know if I don't know if I expect them to win this week against the Jets. I definitely don't know how I feel about that game against the Lions, just because it'll be two teams that are done and they've probably quit by then on their coaching staff and their teams in general. But that's where we're at, and it's kind of the same position the Packers were in last year. Last year, Aaron Rodgers came back from a broken collarbone with three games to play. They lost against Carolina, and then they played Minnesota and Detroit, oddly enough, to close out that year. And it was two glorified scrimmages, two of the worst games I've ever watched. And that's kind of where we're at now. So, Jason, the first question I have is, Aaron Rodgers said after the game that he wants to play. Joe Philbin said that there have been no discussions of shutting him down for the year. Are you somebody who is a proponent of letting DeShone Kizer play these last two games?
No, unless you plan on making DeShone Kizer the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, and we all know that's not the case. So Rodgers plays. I mean, I really don't know what else I can say about that. Rodgers plays. I mean, you know, this is going to sound really harsh, but Rodgers got you this far, so he can go on out and trot himself out there and finish the season out and try and make something of it and try and win two more games. You know, I mean, he's made some brilliant plays, some great throws this year, but we can also argue that he's been off. And maybe we'll learn that there was more to it. Maybe we'll learn, you know, my show partner, the Watershed in Tempe, was talking about, you know, what do you think could be wrong? What do you think this, you know, could be an injury? If it's an injury, what do you think it could be? I have no idea. I really have no idea. I wonder if there's going to be anything's ever going to come out about this season and how he played through something, this or that, that was worse than we thought. So he plays. He plays these last 2 weeks, and you know, I hope he does. I mean, I don't know. I can't think of a scenario where there would be like any kind of worse football product on the field than if Rodgers is sitting and Kaiser's playing. It's next year. It's last year all over again. I just don't think any of us ever thought in a million years that we would go through a season like this where Rodgers played 16 games, but he should definitely play these last two.
Okay. So we're kind of in the same boat. The only thing that I would say as a reason to maybe sit him is if Jason Spriggs is out next week with a concussion and he was being evaluated for one after the game, then you add in that David Bakhtiari is playing at less than 100%. That might be a reason to kind of be careful with the quarterback, especially considering a serious injury at this point in the year and you're putting next year in jeopardy. But, I mean, Rodgers said he's good to go. Joe Philbin has said that he hasn't heard anything about shutting him down. I don't know how the Packers feel. I know last year, after the season was, for all intents and purposes, over, they did shut him down. But that doesn't mean they'll do the same thing this year. It's a new year. It's a new staff. It's a new regime altogether. So that will remain to be seen. The game itself, we kind of mentioned some of it early here, and it was 14-6 Chicago, and the Packers score a touchdown, and they get a two-point conversion to make it 14 apiece. Jamal Williams scores on a run. Rodgers hits Devontae Adams, and it's 14-all. The Bears then go down the field and fumble and give the Packers a chance to take a lead. And on that drive, Jason, is where I think the game really turned, because the Packers had the ball with a chance, and they went 3-and-out. Rodgers was sacked. He missed a throw to Randall Cobb, who was wide open. And then he missed a walk-in touchdown to Marquez Valdez-Scantling down the field, overthrew him by 7 to 10 yards. Now, we've talked about this a lot during this year, how, you know, Rodgers has this Teflon, I don't even know what to call it, coat around him as far as criticism. People do not want to criticize the quarterback, but the reality is you're paying him $33.5 million a season at this point, and he has two layup throws against a really good defense where the plays are hard to come by. Mistakes against this defense are even more amplified because there's not as many plays to be made. There is no get the next one like there would be against a bad defense. And they had two in a row, one of which would have been a big gainer, one of which would have been a touchdown. So that is where I think the game turned. And I think it's obvious, at least at this point, Jason, that the head coach was a problem, but he was not the problem. And Aaron Rodgers needs to play better. Mitchell Trubisky is an average quarterback. I think that is fair to say at this point, and he outplayed Rodgers by leaps and bounds today. Now, some of that because of the defense he was playing against, but some of that because there's something to be said about simply making the plays that are there. You could say, oh, well, he had a wide-open receiver. How hard was that? Yes, but Rodgers had wide-open receivers, and he missed them. So how concerned about you, not just this year, but beyond into next year, that maybe we're looking at a quarterback that is broken, and are you sure he can be fixed?
I think it's very real, possible. I'm not taking anything for granted going into next year. You won't see the sunny optimism when we do our season preview show next year. It's going to be a very different air. You know, like this year, the other thing, too, unrelated to Rodgers, was they escaped the injury bug early, and they stayed healthy, and they had a very small injury report for the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. Then everything just fell apart. This team cannot stay healthy. This I don't know if it's the air in Green Bay or Wisconsin or what it is. This team – you know, cannot keep key players on the field. It's why they lost the NFC Championship game in 2016. It's why they're not going to be playing in a playoff game for 2 years running. And, you know, you mentioned the last two seasons that they didn't make the playoffs, but the last two times that they had losing seasons, I think you mentioned it, 90 and 91. That was a long time ago. So that's how long the Packers have had really good quarterback play. And I think we're seeing kind of something really interesting here. Because Aaron Rodgers is not old. He's over 30, but he's not old. Tom Brady is old. And Tom Brady is still playing at a, you know, had been playing at a decent level. Now, he is having a very rough game today against the Steelers. The Steelers are not the best team on earth anymore. So are we starting to see the decline of Tom Brady? And is Aaron Rodgers on his heels, even though he's several years younger? Could be. Really could be. I have no idea. I have no idea. I equal parts mental as it is physical with Rodgers. You know, he tries to do the right thing to keep himself healthy, but he's such a cerebral guy. You listen to him, you know, recount plays from seasons ago and years ago and break it down as if it just happened. And I have to wonder if you know, the price you pay for having somebody that's that thought-minded, which is kind of a dumb way to phrase it, it's not a word, but somebody who puts that much thought into what they do and say on a regular basis isn't also going to potentially become a victim of overthinking and, you know, like a golfer. We talked about this when Mason Crosby struggled many, many years ago. You know, just you go through a slump and it just gets in your head, and every single thing you do, you're putting so much thought and emphasis into trying to do it the right way. And, you know, some people kind of have a version of OCD in that they really want to try to be and excel at something. And when they don't, they can't accept the fact that they either need to make changes or they can't do it that way anymore, and they have to do something different. I think it's very possible that this carries on beyond this season. And then now we can wait till after the season is over to get into this, but I think that leads right into the questions now. I mean, we went through this with Favre a lot sooner than we have right now with Rodgers. You know, how many elite years of quarterback play are left? Is he going to bounce back next year? You know, he's not anywhere near, I think, close to wanting to retire. He's going to want to play. He isn't doing the same thing Favre did, thank God. But I think the question is not going to be so much will he come back and play next year, but can he be effective? And if the answer is not a resounding yes, especially from key people in the room, what are they going to do? How many more years of this do you go through before you have to start thinking about the future beyond what you've got right now? So that's not a discussion for today, but that's kind of how I see that whole thing. But, you know, I absolutely, and this isn't me being negative. I try to be very realistic. I didn't think the Packers would beat the Bears. They didn't. It's no surprise. Who cares about the streak on the road? The Bears are a better team this year. They're just a better football team this year. It's 2018. 2019 could be very different. And if it is going to be very different, it's going to be because Aaron Rodgers comes back and is energized and he's recharged. I just don't like the vibe that I see between him and a lot of the players on the field that are going to be back next year. Jake, but I don't know how you feel. Like, do you trust Aaron Rodgers to come back and be more cohesive and trust these guys in 2019?
I think that's a fair question. I mean, you know, Rodgers basically said, you know, what's ailing the offense? And he said, quote, details. And I agree with him. It's not just it's not just one thing. It's not just the quarterback needs to play better. It's not just the receivers suck. It's not just the scheme. It's not just all those things. It's all of them. And that includes, though, the quarterback, because there are plenty of people that are turning Aaron Rodgers needs to play better into Aaron Rodgers is bad. And Aaron Rodgers is bad is not necessarily what I mean when I say these things. I am just saying he needs to play better than he has. And I believe that's a fair statement, especially when you are paying him a large sum of money. You know, we talk about it all the time. Guys like Clay Matthews or Nick Perry or Jimmy Graham or whoever, these guys have to say, oh, they're not living up to their salary. Well, that's true, but the quarterback isn't either. And, I mean, everything I've ever seen from Aaron Rodgers says he'll be back next year and playing at his level. I think a new head coach will be a breath of fresh air for him. It's just, you know, at this point in time, it's hard to feel that way because you're really just kind of going off what you know, where this may very well be what the new, quote-unquote, what you know should be. And that's how I feel at this point. This may be the new thing. I don't think it is. Though flashes where you see Aaron Rodgers and it looks like, man, that's Aaron Rodgers and the Aaron Rodgers that we know. And I think it's a fair question though at this point of what's he going to be going forward, because he is 35 years old. Now I know that Tom Brady is also in his 40s. Drew Brees is an older player. Peyton Manning played well until pretty much the very end of his career, and he was in his 40s when he retired. So there's a lot of things that can change between now and then, but the quarterback and his play definitely has to be one of them. So that's how I feel about that. Jason, let's go to Jimmy Graham, because I did mention him. And another controversial, I guess is the wrong way to put it, but another play that he's right in the middle of, where he has a chance to make a play and he doesn't. And when, you know, when you're getting paid like he is, you're getting paid to be a star. And Jimmy Graham has not been a star. He's got nice numbers for a role player, and that's all well and good, but he doesn't have the numbers of what they're paying him to be. So the throw in the end zone that you mentioned that went off his hands and fell into the waiting arms of Eddie Jackson to break Aaron Rodgers' interception streak, which is something I'm thankful we don't have to hear about anymore, quite frankly. But it was a catchable pass because it hit him in the hands. However, do you agree with me when I say that the throw could have been better?
Yeah, we talked about it beforehand. The throw was a little behind Graham, so it wasn't, and I don't even know if the ball hit his hand. It might have hit a helmet and it popped up into the air. I'm not a huge fan of counting that as an interception. That wasn't, I mean, it wasn't a great throw by Rodgers, but it wasn't a pick. It was by stat, but, and of course it's Jackson. I mean, it's just, you know, the most Packer-esque thing, you know, whoever the one guy is on the other side who's having the best season continues to do well against the Packers because something happens. It's dumb. Count for him correctly. Even last week in beating the Falcons, Julio Jones gets in the end zone twice. He hasn't scored two touchdowns in a game since the last time he played the Packers probably. So it's just mind-blowing to me how some of these things happen. The ball wasn't well thrown, though, and for as many throws as Rodgers missed today, he made a couple, but for as many as he missed today, he's a lame call in this game because he's charged with giving the Packers the best chance to win, and he single-handedly missed some of the best opportunities for the Packers to stick with or maybe even beat the Bears, and they couldn't do it. So he's got to own up to it, and this throw was just one of several on the day he didn't hit. You talked about the one to MBS, and there were a couple of others in this game that he just didn't hit. So it's costing the Packers a ton this season, and it's costing their season because it's over now.
That it did. It's over, and there's many reasons for that. You know, obviously when you make an in-season head coaching change for the first time in franchise history, that's a pretty big sign that things are not going very well. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Again, Mike McCarthy wasn't the only one at fault for this situation, but there's a lot of other things too. And, you know, the defense is good. They're not great. The offense is probably average to slightly below. And when you add it all up, you have a 5-8-1 team here in the last 2 weeks of the season playing two glorified scrimmages against two other bad teams that have nothing to play for, which leads to depressing football, which is quite frankly what this is going to be here in the next 2 weeks. Jason, something that, you know, this is kind of being called the passing of the torch or whatever, because the Packers are now going on their way down. The Bears have gone from worst to first. The Vikings obviously have had a good year last year. They look like they're probably going to make the playoffs this year. Do you think that this is the, quote, end of the road, or do you get any sense that the Packers are done as contenders, or, you know, that popular window question? Do you think that window is closing?
Year-to-year, NFL is a year-to-year league, and as long as they've got capable players on their roster, they could plug another quarterback in there, not Deshaun Kizer, but they could plug another quarterback in there that's marginal and still get good results. You know, if you look at Trubisky in Chicago right now, he's not elite. He's made plenty of mistakes. He's not a great quarterback, but he played within the system today. He took what the defense gave him, and he was a winner. He made some plays with his feet. He made some decent throws. He made some bad throws. There was a lot of, you know, sink issues. But as long as the Packers stay tight in the positions that they need to stay tight, as long as they keep their offensive line steady and they've got a solid defense, they can be right back in it. So it has nothing to do with being passed up or, you know, nobody should feel like this team is destined for a decade of – it can very easily turn around next season. Now, obviously, there's a lot that needs to happen between now and then. There's a lot that's going to happen that we'll be evaluating: the draft, free agency, who stays, who goes, are any players going to retire, who do they, you know, how do they look in training camp, how do they look in preseason, who stays healthy, who gets hurt. All those things are going to be a factor. But the Packers right now, as of right now, what they look to carry over to next season, I think they can get right back in it, and they're going to have Aaron Rodgers, so there's even less reason to doubt that. Will they? This season definitely, I think, made a lot of doubters out of a lot of us. I think a lot of us have readjusted and recalibrated the way we are optimistic about this team. So I will definitely be very cautiously optimistic. Both had this game as a loss in the preseason, and they haven't lost in Chicago in a long time. We both picked this game as a loss. But I don't know that I'm going to be going with the typical 12-4, 11-5 prognosticating come next summer, honestly. You know, we'll see, because they're going to have some tough games. They're going to play the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's in Kansas City. And they're gonna be playing the Chargers, who are also a good team. You know, who knows what happens during the off season. So it's gonna be a tough sled again next year. But I think they can be right back in it. There's no reason to think that they can't. I'm not hearing any of this Chicago Bears now, that's a new era, this and that. The NFL doesn't work that way anymore. Unfortunately, during the last of what we probably have seen of dynasties and teams that maintain their success over several decades, the Packers happened to draw the good straw and had it. The Lions never did, so screw them. But the Bears and the Vikings didn't. But no longer will you see that. It's not going to be a flipping of the script. So to Bears fans and Vikings fans, because I know you all tune into this show and listen religiously, you know, just enjoy what you have right now, because as much as our fortunes can change next year, so can yours.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we get into this habit all the time of trying to create the next dynasty, and we worry so much about how, you know, because everybody comes in, and last year it was the Eagles. The Eagles win the Super Bowl, and they were the best team in the NFL from wire to wire. There's no doubt about that, and it was rewarded. They were rewarded with a Super Bowl title, and then coming into this year, we're talking about, well, can they repeat? How many can they win in the next couple of years? We talk about it all the time, Jason, that the NFL is a week-to-week league, and that is a fact, unquestioned fact. It's also a year-to-year league. There are so many things changed on this NFL landscape in the last, 6 months? I mean, when we did the preseason show, for example, we had no idea that Khalil Mack was going to play for the Chicago Bears. And if you had prognosticated through the year, they're like, okay, they hired Matt Nagy, they got some offensive weapons. Yeah, you think the Bears are going to be better, but did you think they were an NFC contender? No, because so many things changed between this year and last. We had no idea how Matt Nagy was going to do as a head coach. It turns out he's a really good play caller. I still am not so sure how good of a head coach he is. We'll see as it goes down the stretch here. But the NFL changes so much in 1 year's time frame that to say, like, oh, the Bears have got the NFC North for seasons to come. Well, I heard the same bullshit last year when the Vikings won the NFC North, and guess what? They're not winning the NFC North this year. They may not make the playoffs. They probably will, but they may not. So that is interesting in of itself as well, because between this year and next year, the Packers could trade for Von Miller in June. Now, I'm not predicting that or saying that he's going to be on the market or anything like that, but you just don't know. Players get better. Injury issues take place from year to year that don't take place the year before. You know, like last year, the Packers didn't win the division last year because Aaron Rodgers was hurt. That was a huge reason they didn't win the division last year. Now, they may not have won it anyways had he been healthy for all those games, but I can promise you they wouldn't have been irrelevant in the last two games of the season had he been healthy. So those are so many things that can change. And just trying to say, oh, man, I'm depressed. Green Bay will never win again. The reality of the situation here is the Packers have their quarterback in place. Now, he needs to play better. No question about that. But you can look at so many teams around the NFL. They change their coaches. They have a big offseason, and bam, they're right back. That's exactly what the Chicago Bears did. They changed coaches, John Fox out, Matt Nagy in. Cool. They make their huge move and trade for Khalil Mack. Along the way, they get guys like, they re-sign Prince Amukamara. They re-sign Kyle Fuller, both guys that have played well for them this year. Their first-round pick, Roquan Smith, looks like a home run kind of player. Allen Robinson has been okay for them. They have so many weapons that they use so much better in their offense, and that's something that I think you'll see next year as well. If they hire the right head coach, the offense is going to be completely different. So we don't really know what to expect from the Packers going into 2019. But to say, for anybody to say, oh, the torch has been passed, the Packers are done, they'll never win an NFC North title or compete for a Super Bowl, again, in this era, if you will, with Aaron Rodgers, is ridiculous. Now, they could hire the wrong head coach, and that could turn out to be true, but so many things can change in one offseason. Again, if you want an example of that, the Chicago Bears, the team that just won the NFC North title today, is that example. Because, again, they went from, I mean, they were a bottom feeder. They were a top 10 pick team last year with little to anything to be too excited about, to now boasting the best defense in the NFL. And the Bears are going to have some changes as well, guys. Vic Fangio is probably not going to be the defensive coordinator next year. I would be very surprised if he did not get a couple head coaching interviews and if he didn't end up taking one. Now, I may be wrong on that, but they're going to get changes. That's what happens to any staff who has a team that is very good. If you want proof of that, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Their quarterback coach, John DeFilippo, and their offensive coordinator were both poached after last year's Super Bowl season. The Patriots lost their defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, a.k.a. Jim Tomsula Light, is now the head coach in Detroit. Josh McDaniels is probably going to be gone next year. The Chiefs are going to have guys that are pulled off their staff. There's so many things that are going to change, and I think all of us sit here and think that we can try and predict the future and that we know what's going to happen, and the reality is we don't. Jason, if I went through and looked at, and I can go back through and look and see who I picked to win the divisions and all that stuff and who I thought, I can tell you right now, I do know for a fact, I did not expect the Bears to win the NFC North, I know that, and I did not expect the Chiefs to be as good as they have been. Chiefs and Chargers, for that matter. Both of those teams have surprised me a little bit from that standpoint. So this predict the future thing or looking at a dynasty, the reality is you have to look at each season as this separate entity because that's what it is. Because another thing, everybody came in this year and expected the Packers to be NFC contenders. Jason, you and I picked them both to go to the playoffs. I believe you picked them to win the division and I picked them to just lose it by like a tiebreaker. And they're now a third place team with some danger of falling to fourth place by the end of the season. So much can change in one offseason, and this offense and this team as a whole does have some talent on it. There are some building blocks. The quarterback is there. Aaron Jones is a star. He's hurt right now. That sucks, but he's a star. Davante Adams is a star. On the defense, you've got Jaire Alexander. You've got Kenny Clark. There's some players that you can build around on that defense. They have gobs of cap space. Well, maybe not gobs. They don't have like $100 million in cap space or something like that, but they have quite a bit of cap space, two first-round picks. You have to hit this draft. This offseason is the biggest one the Packers have had since the summer of Brett Favre. And that was a huge offseason, for those of you that don't remember. The summer of Favre and the summer that really followed that were two huge offseasons because the Packers were picking ninth after that season and got B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews. Their franchise changed at the drop of a hat. They went from a 6-10 team to 11-5 team just like that. So I say all that to say we have no idea what the hell is going to happen. You may think you know, but I'm watching a clip of the Philadelphia Eagles from last season. As soon as Carson Wentz went down, all of us, myself included, wrote them off. They're done. They're not winning a playoff game, let alone going to the Super Bowl. What'd they do? They beat Matt Ryan, the Minnesota Vikings defense, and Tom Brady to win a championship. No idea what's going to happen. So any closing thoughts on that, Jason, before we go to the next topic?
It's a year-to-year league, and that's how it's going to lay out. There's a lot of things that are going to happen, a lot of changes that are going to take place. We have to hope that the brain trust in Green Bay is ready for the challenge because they've got two seasons worth now of futile performance to try to correct. And it's going to get real problematic if we're in the same position next year. You know, this was the exact same weekend the Packers were eliminated last year, but they played half a season with a backup quarterback. So they had Aaron Rodgers all this season. Really hard to kind of reconcile that in your mind. It's a much different quarterback talent. And because of that, a lot of people will say that, you know, Rodgers is slipping and you know, we've already talked about how it may be possible. Maybe he is, but if he is, it's a very interesting decline if it's not injury related, because he was so good in 2016, making plays with his arms, his feet, you know, and obviously his mind. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, but they've got to get it right. You know, this is the second year now of you've got a problem and you need to fix it. And we're going to see just how dedicated and committed to putting a winning football team on the field Mark Murphy is, because he's the, you know, the rumblings are starting to get louder about him and his business acumen and his Sledding Hill and his Titletown district. You know, the amount of attention and time he puts into that. And we all know what happened when the Packers had leadership and a board that were not, they were business focused back in the 70s and 80s. So, you know, it's a different NFL now. It's a different landscape and the competitive nature can change year to year, but let's hope that this doesn't turn into a, you know, heaven forbid, a 5-year or even worse, longer stretch of disappointing conversations that are happening before the season is even over.
Totally fair point. Definitely a concern. I mean, that all remains to be seen how exactly Mark Murphy has to know too. This hire is going to define him. Make no mistake about it. These are Mark Murphy's Green Bay Packers right at this very second. And the media, to their credit, is asking him a lot of questions about how, you know, why change the structure? Why do these things, blah, blah, blah. And Murphy got defensive about it in the press conference after Mike McCarthy was fired. Whether or not that turns out to be a problem remains to be seen. Some people are skeptical about it. I maintain that we can't know because Mark Murphy's never had to do this before. Maybe Brian Gutekunst will be the one mainly doing the charging here. I don't know. And I don't think anybody does because, well, neither one of them have gone through this process before. So that will remain to be seen. Speaking of the coaching search, however, Jason, this should be a short one. This should put to bed any notion that Joe Philbin is going to be the next head coach, correct?
That is 100% true. Had they won today, it's still true. Joe Philbin's nothing but an extension of Mike McCarthy. They need some freshness in that organization. And, I mean, they need to just kind of – they need to start over with the whole staff. That includes the special teams coordinator. You know, it's not the cherry pick here, but – I like what Mike Pettine has done. If there's a way that they can keep him intact with a new coaching staff, if he's got a relationship with whoever it is that they bring in, great. He changes his mind and wants to enter the conversation to be the next head coach. I'm okay with them at least having a conversation with him. But Joe Philbin should absolutely be done. I appreciate him coming back. It's very courageous. You know, Joe Philbin's been through a lot in Green Bay, spent a lot of years in Green Bay as an assistant coach and a coordinator. And for him to come back and try to get this ship righted when everything looked like it was poised to do so, you know, I give him a lot of credit and for stepping in and leading the team to a win last week and trying to keep everything going. You know, I've got a lot of respect for him and a big tip of the cap, but they can't do it. They've got to get fresh and they've got to move forward in a different direction.
Yeah, they do. And I think today we were talking about it last week, how the Packers, they didn't do anything all that different. They just happened to execute better. And today was the same thing. They were running the same stuff. They just didn't execute as well today, Aaron Rodgers specifically. So there was nothing Joe Philbin could do in my mind that, short of an improbable run that included winning a Super Bowl championship, to get them to shed the interim label off of his head coach name. So he wouldn't be the interim head coach anymore, but the head coach. There's nothing that he could have done short of winning the Super Bowl to get me convinced, because essentially you fired Mike McCarthy to hire Mike McCarthy light. And I don't think that's something Green Bay needs to do. I think you fired the head coach looking for a fresh voice. You'd essentially be putting the same voice in there, just a little bit more of a monotone, you know, sad voice or whatever. I don't really know how to describe Joe Philbin's voice. I don't want to be disrespectful as I do so, but it would essentially be the same thing. With regards to the defensive coordinator, you mentioned Mike Patton, and there are some people on there on Twitter today, and I'm telling you, Twitter's a weird place when the Packers are losing. And today was no exception, because today we're trying to blame Mike Patton on Twitter for how the defense played today. And really, I mean, in my opinion, I thought the defense played relatively well for the most part. I mean, here's the reality, guys. During the game, my brother was sitting in the chair over here, and I just looked at him and said, man, can you imagine if they get this guy some actual players? I mean, a couple of missed sacks today came from guys like Eddie Pleasant and Reggie Gilbert. And you've got guys like, I mean, Tony Brown and Ibrahim Campbell was playing a stretch. Not today, but he has in the past. I mean, there are just some random dudes out there on the field playing for the Packers defense. To me, that's not the scheme, guys. That's the personnel. You could have Bill Belichick running that defense, and I'm not sure how much better they would be than they are right now. Add in that today, the Packers already have kind of a run defense. Actually, it's pretty below average. And Kenny Clark wasn't playing. Neither was Mike Daniels. Mo Wilkerson's obviously been out for most of the season. That's a lot to try and overcome with a defense that's already kind of short on some personnel. And then you take Kenny Clark is one of, if not the best player on the defense. To try and criticize Mike Pettine here, I personally believe is ridiculous because there's just not a lot out there in terms of play. I mean, I was talking about the Bears defense a couple nights ago on Pack-A-Day, and I just started talking about some of the guys that they have. And I was like, okay, Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara, Danny Trevathan, Eddie Goldman, Leonard Floyd. I mean, all of those guys that I just mentioned probably start for this Packers team. Maybe an exception here or there in mind, but all of those guys, most if not all, start for this Packers team. Vic Fangio is a great coach. He's done a great job in Chicago this year. He deserves any of the accolades that he is getting. However, he definitely has a stacked deck with him as well. You combine that, you have the best defense in the NFL. Surprise, surprise. But, I mean, do you give any criticism? I mean, I shouldn't say any, but I mean, is Mike Pettine deserving of any chunk of criticism for how this season has gone?
I think anybody can look at some mistakes that they've made. There's been some personnel things that have been befuddling to me. If there's any, it's maybe why did Kentrell Bryce play so much at safety? Josh Jones didn't look great today. He gave up the touchdown. He was in coverage on it anyway. Maybe if he didn't give it up. And Jones whiffed on a sack today too. So that was one thing that I think was a little bit puzzling. But if there's anybody who probably has done their part more, it's the defensive side of the ball and it's his group. So I'm sure he would probably say there's some things he could be doing differently, but I'm not looking in that direction when I look at this season. I'm looking at the leadership of the team. I'm looking at the quarterback. I'm looking at the use of personnel. And I'm reevaluating the actual level of talent that I thought they had, maybe that's different from what they actually have. Those are the other things. Injuries play a big part of that, and I don't know. I don't know how you build a team anymore in this league because guys just keep getting hurt. Injuries strike, and they don't ever have a full boat of guys that they need. Kevin King on the shelf. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, gone. Jermaine Whitehead, gone. I'm kind of at a loss for words right now, and it's because I don't know how much – it's hard to engross myself in this because there's so many factors outside of the actual team's control that they have to deal with, and then you throw in the fact that they can't get certain things right and they can't get these leadership pieces down, and they don't do the obvious things that they need to, and they have a season like this. It's really going to be tough when we get into the off season to sit down and break down like, okay, how did we get here? And what do we do moving forward? Because I don't understand how a group of people who have had so much success ended up falling so far back. And I don't think it was all injury related. So, you know, it's hard to win in the NFL, and each season that passes is another one gone. So hopefully they can reload and get poised next year. I do think defensively, if they just gave Pettine a really solid guy on the edge, whether it's through free agency or in the draft, and you can get one solid guy in the back end, I think this defense comes back raring to go next year, and I like how they look, provided that, and that means Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, Blake Martinez, Jair. I don't really know how I feel about Kevin King. I'd like to see him bring Breland back, and then if you get a, you know, if you get a safety that really plugs in and plays well, I think they're back in business. Mike Pettine's a big reason for it. Not a ton of criticism going his way.
No, I agree, and, you know, that's kind of where we're at now. I think what happens is, you know, we as a fan base are not used to the team not playing well, so we look to blame just about everything, and we want to just fix everything right now, and that doesn't happen. It can't happen. You know, you mentioned this offseason being a big deal. Again, it is, because, you know, you get an infusion of talent on that defense. You know, when Vic Fangio took over in Chicago, that Bears defense didn't have a lot of players on it. It didn't happen overnight. Slowly they added guys like Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Leonard Floyd. Eventually this year it culminates with their big move of Khalil Mack. And that's something that it really looks like it's going to haunt for years to come. And we knew that when they traded for him. But like you mentioned, you know, the other key is the key guys staying healthy. And that's really most of the battle in the NFL. I mean, last year, for example, the Minnesota Vikings had the healthiest team maybe in the NFL. And what did that happen? They had the best defense in the NFL. Their preferred starters, I think, missed a total of like 27 snaps or something ridiculous like that. The Packers haven't had that luxury. And whatever the reason for that is, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, the Band-Aid answer is, well, get rid of the strength and conditioning staff. I'm not going to pretend to know that that's the reason why that they're struggling as much as they are in terms of the injury department. It's football. It's a physical game. Players get hurt. There's a 100% injury rate in the NFL. That's just how this game works. And that's something the Packers are going to need to figure out. Like you mentioned, though, they have some pieces on that defense. That young secondary gets you excited when you start thinking about it. They add a piece here or there, get some guys on the front seven, keep guys like Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark healthy. They have a chance to start something. I don't know if it's something special, but they have a chance to start something on that defense going forward. And I think Mike Pettine could be a big reason why. Again, I don't think he's a given, quote unquote, to bring him back, because if the head coach decides he wants somebody else, then of course I'm not going to be heartbroken, obviously, either, if Gutekunst and Mark Murphy basically say, okay, you're the head coach, we would like Mike Pettine brought back, because the continuity is another thing that I think matters. And you look at the just guys like Jair Alexander, or if you move on, just let's just go with Kevin King, for example. If you move on from Mike Pettine at the end of this year, Kevin King will be in his third defensive system in 3 years. And that doesn't help anybody. And now obviously, I mean, Kevin King's got his issues. He's got to stay healthy, but putting him in a position like that is setting players up to fail. And that's, I mean, Jair Alexander, 2 years, two coordinators. Josh Jackson, 2 years, two coordinators. You get where I'm going with all this stuff. The continuity, I think, is going to matter at some point also. Let's go to next week. We already mentioned we don't think Aaron Rodgers should sit. We don't think he's going to sit. That'll remain to be seen. I mean, I know Saturday or, you know, Wednesday's injury report should be interesting to see if we have Aaron Rodgers listed with a groin injury. He did tweak his groin today. It did look like he was a little uncomfortable as the game went on today. But could be interesting to see how the Packers approach this. Because like I said, last year, they sat Rodgers down in games that, quote unquote, did not matter. So that's going to be interesting. Jason, they're playing on the road. They're playing a bad team. They're playing the New Jersey Jets. Very simple. Do the Packers get their first road win next week in the Meadowlands?
I don't think so. It's an uncommon opponent, AFC. They haven't won all year on the road, and they're just deflated. I don't know how guys are going to show up to play and they're going to respond. They don't have anything to play for. So do you go into safety mode and stop trying to make tackles and stop trying to play hard because you don't want to get hurt? I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if I'd necessarily even blame these players. I'd like to see them go and win a game, but the Jets are going to come out and try to win, and the Packers are still a storied franchise, and it looks good in the history books when you beat the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. So it's a quality win for the Jets, and, you know, Todd Bowles still needs to keep his job too. So, you know, it's also a chance for him to embolden a young quarterback in Sam Darnold, get a big win over another, you know, team. Now, let me phrase this differently. Get a win. Sam Darnold did not get a win. The Jets would get a win. Sam Darnold would be part of the victory. okay? Because I am not in the camp of quarterback wins as a stat or a thing. It's neither. But if the Jets get a victory and Darnold plays well and it's against a full, you know, strength Packers team, or at least what they have, and Rodgers is playing, that gives a lot of confidence to young players. So I think the Jets come out strong at home and ready to do some damage. And I just, you know, I think the Packers complete the perfect sweep on the road this season. It's just going to be one to toss the trash and really hopefully never look back at and never think about again. So I don't think that they will. I don't even know if I'd pick them to beat the Lions at home if next week was week 17. You know, the last 2 weeks of the season last year were very putrid to watch, and I don't know what to expect. I think it'll be better this year if Rodgers plays. I don't know by how much, but it's a road game. It's an unfamiliar opponent. It's you know, they struggled to win in their championship season because they just don't, you know, they tend to struggle on the road in these AFC games. They don't typically tend to play well because it's just, you know, and those were Mike McCarthy's teams, but I don't think they will. They should. I know it's disappointing to hear, but that's just kind of where I'm at with this team. I don't trust them to get a victory, and especially not away from home. I think this year is just a lost season, and it was a disaster on the road. The only thing I can say that I'll be glad about is that they're after this, they have no more road games this season.
I'm with you. I know I picked Green Bay to win this week. I think that was definitely a case of the homerisms. And I'll admit that. It is what it is. But, I mean, I'm with you because why would I believe that they can win a game on the road? They haven't done that all year. And every road game looks the same. There isn't one road game to me that I look back and go, man, that one just looks different. No, they find ways to lose. And the other concern that I have, and I'll ask if you have the same one, but these last two games, they mean nothing. The Packers have some players on their team, obviously, that are playing for jobs and such. Everybody has a team like that. But two outdoor games, probably not the greatest weather-wise. I'm also concerned that this team may just lay down, whereas the Jets, they're trying to build a young quarterback, a young culture. Now, Todd Bowles is not going to be part of building that culture, but he's trying to give himself the best possible information for an interview when he sets up for his next coaching job, whether that's as a head coach or defensive coordinator remains to be seen. Sam Darnold is trying to develop into a franchise quarterback. He certainly looked the part Saturday night in New York against the Houston Texans. The Packers don't have anything like that. I mean, they have a quarterback who is a veteran. And he's probably going to be back. Well, not probably. He is going to be back next year as the starting quarterback. The head coach is not going to be back, so it's not like they're trying to play for a head coach's job. I really think that there is some concern that this team may just lay down and die in these last 2 weeks. And I do know that Week 17 game is going to be one of the worst games on the schedule because Detroit will definitely have given up, and teams are more prone to the playing for pride sort of thing when it is cold. And it's definitely going to be cold that last game of the season at Lambeau Field. So, Jason, do you have any concern these last two games that not only are the Packers not going to win, because obviously we don't think they're going to win next week, but that they'll just compete at the highest level?
Oh, that's exactly why I just said I don't think they'll beat the Jets and why I don't know if they'd beat the Lions. That's my 100% concern. And I don't, like I said, I don't even know if I blame them. You know, I mean, let's be smart about it here. There's nothing to gain. There's nothing to play for. And, you know, you want to see your team fight. You want to build some positive momentum going into next year. But this team knows what they could have accomplished this season. They didn't do it. And there's nothing wrong with being realistic and saying, hey, listen, this is what the reality is of what we can accomplish. And let's not go crazy here. I mean, I don't want to see them looking ridiculous. I thought last season the last two games were really embarrassing. And it was kind of what you expect. Aaron Rodgers didn't play, and there was just nothing to be had or to gain. And you don't want to see a guy like Adams suffer a long-term injury. Just remember, too, two things I'll throw at you, Jacob, is you get hurt in this game or next week, and it's a long-term injury, that affects your availability for 2019 immediately. If it's going to be a six-month injury or longer, and that's that's always a very a good possibility that it could happen at any given time. It's football. So, you know, is that a consideration for you? I mean, that's part of my answer is just be healthy. Just get out healthy. I don't care if they lay down and don't play well because it doesn't matter. So just get out and get healthy. But at this point, Jacob, is it more appropriate? I'll just say this. I won't mind benefiting from a better draft position, but I'm not a fan of tank for draft picks, and I'd like to get your take on that. And and whether or not, because people are going to start to ask you and I and all the pundits out there, hey, Kay, now that I say tank for the better draft pick, now that there's officially no hope of doing anything more this season, I still say no. I don't like that mentality.
I don't either. You know, I mentioned the Packers don't have to establish a winning culture, but guys like Jair Alexander, Josh Jackson, Kenny Clark, Kyler Fackrell, players that are going to be here need to feel that sort of feeling of what it's like to win, and trying to tell them essentially, hey, screw this, we hope you lose, that's not a good start for some of that stuff. So to answer your first question about health, yeah, that's paramount. What I don't want to see is I call it the ha-ha Clinton Dix. And what I mean by that is last year in Detroit, it was very obvious that Clinton Dix was making business decisions and completely disinterested in playing the game. If you're going to do that, I'm not condoning this, so please don't think I am, but I would rather you essentially fake an injury during the week and find a way to have yourself inactive on Sunday than to essentially be on the field but just be a tackling dummy. I would like to see – I think Green Bay can do these things without, quote-unquote, tanking. But you play your young guys. Randall Cobb, for example, he's being evaluated for a concussion currently. Whether or not he gets out of that protocol remains to be seen. But he doesn't need to play over Jamon Moore. Essentially, the way the Packers did things last year, you know, they played Brett Hundley. They played the young guys. Michael Clark had a – showing at the end of the year, which I know made our guy Zach Jacobson really happy throughout the year. And they played their young guys. I think the Packers should do that. Oren Burks, time to play linebacker. If you suck, cool. But we kind of need to know. Josh Jones, those sorts of things. Just kind of set your players up in positions you potentially see them at next season. Again, Jamon Moore, Jake Kumerow, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, EQ. Maybe that means, and I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here, and I apologize for that, but maybe that does mean put Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams on the shelf. Because like you mentioned, if one of them, knock on wood, tears their ACL, then you're talking about the start of 2019. In Adams' case, maybe most of it because he's a wide receiver and not a quarterback, missing most of that time. So you don't want to send the message necessarily that this player is more important than the other player. However, the reality is, I mean, I don't think there's a player on the roster that's going to argue Aaron Rodgers or Devontae Adams isn't more important than, say, Jake Kumerow, just to use a name out there as an example. So you don't want to send that message. It's a fine line to walk. Green Bay did it last year. I think that's the route they're going to go again based on empirical evidence, but it remains to be seen. So, yes, ultimately at the end of the year, obviously I want the team to compete. I want them to do all the things that they would normally do as far as, you know, play for your pride, you're paid, you represent the Green Bay Packers, all that stuff. But at the same time, I really don't want to see an injury at the end of the year basically ruin somebody's 2019 season. Because the reality is, like I mentioned, the Packers can bounce back quickly. Two first-round picks, lots of cap space. They could very much be in the discussion for, you know, NFC contender, NFC North contender next season if they have their guys and have a good offseason. In order to do that, it kind of starts right now. So, yeah, I want to see some of the young guys. Throw Jamon Moore out there. Keep, you know, Randall Cobb, with all due respect, you've had a great career here in Green Bay, but it's over at the end of this season. And I don't really need to see you out there anymore because it doesn't do anything for the 2019 Green Bay Packers, which is what this is all about. So it's unfortunate that's what we're at as far as the season goes. But, you know, like I mentioned, they did it a season ago, and they didn't seem to have a problem with it then. So I don't know if they'll have a problem with it now. And that's where we're at. It's a depressing time of year. You know, it's a depressing way of going into football as far as the holidays go. We're not used to this. The Packers are typically NFC contenders, or they have been for pretty much my entire life. And now they're not. and they're not going to the playoffs. They're definitely not going to the Super Bowl, obviously, since they're not going to the playoffs. But that's how it is for this season, and it's unfortunate that it is that way, but it's officially time to start looking at, like I mentioned, free agents, off-season stuff, who are some guys you want to have around, who are those guys. Jason's throwing up the X, so that better not mean Dez Bryant. But, Jason, go ahead and tell me what that meant then.
That meant that we're out of stream, and I don't even know if this portion of the show is being recorded. So there you have it. If it is, no, I do not want Dez Bryant, and we're not even at the point where we can talk free agents yet because we don't know which free agents are going to be available. This is the most Packer-esque 2018 Pulse of the Pack show we could have possibly put together. It is a microcosm of the season. It is just a huge bummer.
100%. What a cluster bang this turned out to be. So I apologize for that if you guys are still listening here. That will do it for today's show. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter, @PackerPulse. Follow Jason. He's @JasonPerrone. Follow me, @JacobWestendorf. We will be back next weekend to wish you guys Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, whatever it is that you celebrate. We don't really care what you call it around here because we're not offended by every little thing like the entire world seems to be. Call it whatever the hell you want for all I'm concerned. So thank you guys for listening in. Depressing day. Chicago ends Green Bay's playoff hopes, but we are to 2019 and beyond. Thank you, as always, for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Pack.